This is a survival story about our daughter, Hannah Meek, and ourselves.
Our survival story begins with Hannah's opening words to an essay. "Miss Morgan, Miss Morgan, come quick. Hannah fell." My gym teacher leaned over me and asked, "Hannah, Hannah, can you hear me?" I was jumping rope in first grade. I collapsed on the gym floor. Miss Morgan picked me up and took me to the nurse's office. I remember my first grade teacher sitting next to me and crying. I wanted to ask, "Why are you crying? Everything's going to be okay."
I'm retired from the Army Reserve, and in 1991, I was called up for Operation Desert Storm and sent to Saudi Arabia in the combat zone.
My story of resilience. Bonnie and I arrived in Fort Collins on New Year's Eve of 1980.
When I think of challenges in my life, my mind goes to the summer of 1996.
We had just driven from Salina, Kansas with a U-Haul truck, and Bonnie had a U-Haul trailer behind our family station wagon, and we had two kids. We had a rented house that I had arranged earlier, a little bit of money that was from the sale of our house in Kansas, and no job.
We would learn in the next 24 hours that Hannah had a rare pediatric stroke, one affecting 2 children out of 100,000.
I'm Marla Nelson. I've been a member of Foothills Church for many years. Gretchen asked me to share a life-changing experience. In May of 2014, my son Soren died by suicide.
At that time, I was active duty Air Force, was told that I would be deployed to Saudi Arabia as part of our air transportable hospital.
It was a devastating thing, and for my family and I.
Before her stroke, Hannah was very active physically. Suddenly, much of her life became full-time in therapy. She temporarily lost the ability to talk. She couldn't walk, write, or feed herself.
I'd been active duty Air Force for about 6 years, had one more year to go, and knew that it was my turn. However, I had 2 children. Almost 2 and almost 4.
We were leaving behind a job situation in Salina that had started out promising, but had gotten pretty bad for me.
I'd never thought that I'd leave my girls for longer than a couple days. And here I was planning to leave them for 3 months.
We began living at hospitals, 2 weeks at PVH, and then 3 weeks at Children's Hospital in Denver. All this while we continued to work full time.
We had assessed our situation and had decided moving back to Fort Collins, where we had met 13 years earlier, was what we wanted to do. So we took the leap of faith.
It was one of the toughest things I've ever done, is saying goodbye to them. I left, got on the plane, and was on my way to Saudi Arabia, and I did my job.
A couple things. It helped keeping going, resilience. First of all, I had an obligation to my troops.
My work was emotional to be gone. Their dad's work was hard, being there with 2 toddlers.
And we found that various ways over time to try to cope with it.
Help came in amazing ways from friends and family. One friend established an email newsletter. Soon prepared food showed up. An emergency fund helped with insurance.
One thing that was different for me was I've always been a caregiver in my family. And so suddenly having the tables turned and I was the one who needed the care, it was a blessing to have friends from church and other friends to reach out and help me.
What helped me get through that was knowing that they were there with their dad who loved them.
They would sometimes just sit and listen and be with me, and that was comforting.
pastoral counseling and medical social work counseling helped with complex emotions.
They would sometimes bring meals or invite Martin and I to their homes to just sit and have a normal evening with them.
The resilience to make that move and to believe that we could meet whatever challenges that presented came from a deep reservoir of trust that we had built up during our first 10 years of marriage.
We found unbelievable outreach and support from our faith community.
Facing uncertainty and taking risk is made easier for me because I know I'm not alone.
It helped to know that my parents were going to come over every month for a long weekend to be supportive.
I also found my small groups that I've often been in were really helpful as well, because it was good to sit down with people and share your story with them and listen to theirs.
We survived as a family. Our trust in the greater good of people grew stronger from this experience.
I found in that experience that so many of us are carrying some burden, some grief, and we find different ways to cope with it.
We found ourselves uplifted by prayers and meditation books.
And the other thing was, I brought a copy of Meditations of Marcus Aurelius. Other people brought Bibles. I brought this because it spoke to me much more than any Bible could about being able to acknowledge your situation and, once again, to do what you could to alleviate or help.
It helped that I could talk to my husband about, often and hear about what he and the girls were doing.
I also found that going back to serving or volunteering with my faith family hospitality groups and One Village, One Family was very rewarding. It was good to get back to helping somebody else and to just be there for them as they struggled through their situations.
40 years later, Bonnie and I still trust each other. Well, we did make a home in Fort Collins and survived. I survived because we had each other.
20 years ago, like uncertainty today, we focused on one day at a time.
And there was always something else that had to be done, which is pretty much even when you're quarantined all by yourself, there's always one more thing you can do.
We held in our hearts the hope and knowledge that we would get through this.
It ended. I came back.
We have before and can again face the tough challenges that we are confronting.
So here's their picture. And now they're adults, grown, and still happy and healthy.
We can draw upon the strength and resilience that comes from all of us pulling together.
I can't say enough about coping and being resilient by just reaching out to others and listening to their stories. It makes you realize that we're all a community and that we all have things to give to someone else, even if it's just sitting with them, listening, being there for them. So that's my story up to now. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
As I was listening to these stories, I started writing down on this little piece of paper all of the things I heard folks mention about how they coped, how they survived, how they made it through one of the most difficult moments or a big challenge, maybe the biggest challenge of their life so far. And I want to read them to you. Survival through a sense of duty or commitment, through the support of family, friends, a spouse, through trust, through listening and being listened to, community, food, shared meals, therapy, pastoral care, prayer and meditation, financial support, faith, coping one day at a time, just doing the next thing, hope, through knowing that I'm not alone, through knowing that they're not alone, through service, through telling my story, through listening to other people's stories. If there's something that I didn't mention that's not on this little piece of paper that has helped you move through challenging times in your own life, something that supports and cultivates your own resilience, that has cultivated your own resilience and continues to do that today, I invite you to share that with us in the chat or in the comments. There are a few more stories, a few more wise words I want to share with you. This week, Eleanor, director of family ministry, had a conversation with a group of young adults, many of whom grew up in the church, all of whom 4 years ago were graduating from high school in this very moment. And they got together this week to reflect on how Unitarian Universalism has supported them in their young adulthood and in this moment, and shared some of their stories and what is helping them get through this time. Take a listen.
I know with the spiritual practices that we had growing up that I know really helped me was the walking the labyrinth for me. I still, like, to this day, one of my biggest things, if I'm in a bad head space, that I can do to help right my head and just kind of get myself reoriented on whatever I'm trying to do, is I will go out and just walk for an hour. Exercise is great, and sometimes I'll do it for that, but also just the walk, and just thinking about how fast do I want to walk, how slow do I want to walk, why do I want to walk at whatever speed I want to walk at. It's still a thing that I do regularly.
I think for me, something that's been really helpful lately, Brenna kind of talked about earlier, taking listening and being listened to in youth group. And I think that it's been really important for me to sit and listen and be slightly more passive, or have a passive voice in my life recently, and not passive in the sense of not doing something because it's hard, but maybe it's harder to be still in some moments. It's so easy to feel so upset about everything that is out of control. It's probably something that I did get from the church, is just being able to kind of sit and be what is really important in this moment. I think just being able to sit and listen and be still.
A sense of spirituality and my own faith in myself and, some sort of higher power. I've been doing a lot of my own healing work, which has kind of given me a sense of purpose, because I feel like it's important if collectively we want to heal all these bigger issues that have come to the surface. If we want to heal collectively, I think it's really important that we each heal our stuff individually. Also, really trying to have a deeper connection to nature and deepening my relationship to plants, both physically and spiritually, I think is really helping me navigate challenging times that we're in.
The community. I think it's the community who's there to support you, and I an attitude of it'll all shake out in the end. If this thing doesn't work, something else will.
For me, definitely the community. When I think of the times that I've had that were the hardest, I would not say that I've had the hardest times in the grand scheme of things, but for my hardest times, it's definitely been the people around me has been, for me, the biggest thing.